Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live. Information and data included in this podcast were taken from the following sources. The Wall Street Journal's special section titled New Tax Law on February 14, 2018, and the New York Times special section titled Your Taxes on February 25, 2018.
Creating the holistic roadmap to your financial future, Hightower Westchester, where your wealth is managed to a fiduciary standard. Proud supporters of Westchester Talk Radio. Securities offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Hightower Advisors, LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Good afternoon. This is Westchester Talk Radio, and we are broadcasting live from the offices of Hightower Westchester here in the heart of Harrison, New York, right here in 440 Mamaroneck Avenue, to be precise. I'm Bob Marone here with my co-host, if you will, Matt Cahan, also our engineer. But more importantly, I am here with one of the executives. But first, we're produced this afternoon by Shaw Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Durante Rentals, Skyline Genesis Event Marketing, J.P. McHale Pest Management, and Salem Golf Club. And my guest, Peter Lang, Managing Director. He is a partner at Hightower Westchester. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me. Look forward to this.
Oh, we're glad that you're here. We spoke with some of your colleagues earlier. First of all, this is a very interesting firm, and it really, you guys have differentiated yourself quite well from the competition.
Yeah, we think that's really important. That's why we joined Hightower about 8.5 years ago.
And I think it shows, especially the focus on advisory services, the focus on being a fiduciary as opposed to a broker or a seller of mutual funds or products, et cetera. But what I wanted to talk with you about, having done that with your colleagues, is taxes. We have a new tax code. First and foremost, when do the tax changes go into effect? Help me.
So the tax changes that Congress signed back in late December already went into effect as of January 1st, 2018. So just to differentiate, for people that are struggling to do their taxes right now, that are due on April 15th, that covers the 2017 tax year. Mm-hmm. So the new tax laws do not affect those. They affect everything from January 1st, 2018 forward.
So, but what needs to be said is we need to keep that in mind as we start purchasing and making decisions now.
Yes, and that's, the big part of it is there's a lot of confusion out there as to what matters, what should clients be doing, what shouldn't they be doing. And right now, the other thing that we're still waiting for is, remember, when the tax laws get written by Congress, those laws then have to be taken and converted into the actual tax code. That takes the IRS some time. So, for instance, the new withholding that went into effect theoretically on January 1st mm-hmm. didn't actually hit the people's paychecks and affect people's paychecks until February 15th. It took the IRS about 5-6 weeks to rewrite some of the withholding according to new tax law. And so basically every week, every month right now, the IRS is coming out with the regulations from the new tax law.
Now, should I have seen a few extra pennies in my check this week?
You probably should have seen a
about
few 85
extra. 85 cents maybe, because it didn't look much different.
Maybe 90.
Thank you. You're a very generous man. Now, I didn't realize until I was looking at your notes that there's a sunset to this tax law.
Yes. The tax law as it was written for individuals will sunset in 2025. Most of the tax laws that have been written in the last 15 or 20 years all have come with sunset provisions.
Didn't realize that.
And the hope is that they kind of kick the can down the road and hope for the next members of Congress and the president to fix and to finalize and to figure out if they're going to keep it or change it.
Okay, but for now, to quote, this is the army that we go to war with. This tax code is the one.
This is what we got to live with for the next, 7-8 years.
So what should we do next? What should people do next? It's kind of scary.
Well, I think it's you have to take it back and you have to understand the changes as they apply to you. And remember, everybody's tax situation is separate and distinct. And while we're wealth managers, we certainly work with our clients with their legal issues, planning for estates, we work with them on the taxes. But we really strongly recommend that you speak to your CPA. We want to work as part of your financial team. So we've got to involve the CPA and your attorney where applicable. And when all three of us work together for our clients, we find the clients end up as the net beneficiary getting the best advice.
Of course, which is what your company is all about.
Yep,
now,
absolutely.
Do you ever refer people to an accountant, or do you prefer they find their own? Because some people don't even know an accountant.
We absolutely, you know, refer clients to accountants and attorneys all the time.
Okay, good. That's a good idea because, again, I keep thinking about the typical client, particularly millennials now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of these relationships yet, but hearing this broadcast, they're very likely to be calling you to come in to plan.
Yeah, we absolutely, again, if they want to do it on their own, that's fine, but we strongly recommend speak to a CPA. There are a lot of nuances that a CPA will know very well and will be able to do the right thing for you.
Seems to me this would be a good time to go over the actual changes that are coming down the pike.
Great.
In the most basic way we can. Tell us.
So let's first start really with personal tax brackets, okay? And let's understand, you know, people say, oh, I'm in the 25, I'm in the 35, I'm in the 28% tax bracket. Remember, our tax system in America is a graduated system. So, simple example, let's say you're making $100,000. The first $19,050 of that under the new tax law would be taxed at 10%. The next $58,000 and change is taxed at 12%. And then the next $22,000, getting up to $100,000, is taxed at 22%. When you average all that out, you end up in a 14% tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not in the 22% because you make $100,000. You're in the 14% because of the way it's graduated.
So I'm doing a little better, obviously.
Correct. And then let me give you some examples, some examples that we put together. And this is assuming that all of the income earned is simply earned straight as earnings from an employee, that you're an employee of a mm-hmm. of a big company.
Get my W-2.
Correct. You get your W-2 from the ABC company, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is all for a married couple. So for a married couple filing joint, under the old tax law, $100,000 worth of income equated to about $16,000 of taxes or a 16% bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Under the new tax law, that's down to 14%, so about a $2,500 savings.
Mm-hmm.
For a married couple at making $250,000, old tax law was about $57,000 and change, 23%. New tax law, $48,000 and change, about 19%. And lastly, for a couple making $750,000, $242,000 of taxes, about 32%. New tax law, $216,000, about 29%.
That's a good deal. And at that $750,000, I work in radio, and I will never see that.
I'm sure not.
Now, these numbers are old and new before deductions and credits. So what about raw income tax?
Well, that was the raw income
tax.
That's just raw income tax.
Oh, I got it. That is the raw. That's
the
up.
Raw. No deductions, no credits.
Got it.
And assuming all of the income. Remember, different types of income is also taxed at different rates. So, for instance,
dividends and capital gains. Tell us.
So, dividends and capital gains did not change at all. So, qualified dividends are taxed at 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Capital gains are taxed at 20%. So, if all of your income in the above example that I gave you all came from dividends and capital gains, the numbers I gave you aren't relevant. Because, again, dividends, capital gains are taxed generally at about 20%.
What about things like sale on the purchase of a home and things like that?
Well, so sale on the purchase of a home is kind of a unique thing. If you're selling a house and then you a week later buy another house,
mm-hmm.
the capital gain that you have rolls forward into that house.
Right.
It's only when, generally what you see is older individuals, they sell a house and they downsize.
Finally cashing out.
Right. So you finally cash out, and let's say you rent a place or you downsize. So you sell your $1 million home and you buy a condo for $500,000. There, as a couple, you get a one-time exemption on the first $500,000 of a capital gain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you only get that once. Every taxpayer gets that one time as a couple. It's $250 individual, $500 for a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
You get it one time. That did not change under the new tax law.
Okay. That's a good thing to hear.
Yeah.
Now, is there a big distinction long-term, short-term in terms of the taxes, long-term capital, short-term capital
gains? Oh, capital gains?
Yeah.
Well, again, long-term capital gains. So those items, so if you buy a stock of ABC Company and you hold it for a year and a day, that's going to be taxed at that 20% capital gain bracket that I mentioned. If you buy ABC Company today and you sell it in 2 weeks from now, that capital gain will be taxed at your at a higher bracket, at whatever your marginal bracket is.
Understood. We're talking with Peter Lang. He's managing director, one of the partners here at Hightower Westchester. I'm Bob Marone, and we're talking about the new tax code. Now, the standard deduction, all my life, I don't think I've ever understood what that was. What is it?
So you're an individual. You're filing your taxes. You can itemize your taxes, which means you have to account for everything that you kind of spend your money on under certain deductions. And we'll go through the different categories of deductions in a few minutes. But if you want to do it simply, you can take what's called the standard deduction. Every individual under the old tax law got a $6,500 standard deduction. Married couple, double that, or $13,000. Mm-hmm. So if you made, you know, $50,000, married couple, you could deduct $13,000, so thereby lowering your income to $37,000, and that's what you were then taxed on.
Right.
Under the new tax law, one of the changes that went into effect was the standard deduction has basically been virtually doubled. It's now $13,000 for an individual and $24,000 for a married couple. So one of the things that I think we'll see from this, everyone, you know, the big dream of is always to have a super simplified thing and you can file it on a postcard. Well, that's not really going to happen ever.
But this is a little towards that unless you traditionally had a lot of write-offs.
Correct. So, you know, I looked for some statistics a couple years ago. Approximately 30% of tax filers, or about 44 million people, itemized their taxes, where they went through the rigor of finding all the different things they spent their money on.
Let me see, my mortgage, my property tax, my mortgage interest. What about that? Is that capped?
Yes. So under the old tax law, there was $1 million cap on a mortgage.
Right.
So you could have a $900,000 mortgage. All of the interest would be deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, if you still have that $900,000 mortgage, you're safe. You will still be able to deduct all of that interest. Any purchases made going forward from January 1st, 2018, your mortgage cap is now, or the interest deduction is capped at $750,000.
Okay, let me underscore this. But today I have a $1 million mortgage, you're not going to penalize me next year. I'm still okay because I have it. But once I make the change, I'm subject to the new law.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
The other part that was a little confusing until the IRS literally just came out and wrote some code last week that they released had to do with home equity loans. You know, a lot of people take out home equity loans for sometimes for home improvement, sometimes to buy a car, to pay for the kids for college.
You're talking to me again. Go ahead.
Okay. Under the old law, the the interest on your home equity loan was fully deductible just like your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, it's only going to be deductible if there are two things to keep in mind. If you take the money out on your home equity loan to do a home improvement, a new roof, an addition, finishing the basement, whatever project there is at the house, and your first mortgage plus the home equity do not exceed $750,000.
Okay. Does the same grandfather rule apply? If I have an equity mortgage today, but it was taken out to pay my gambling debts 10 years ago, whatever the case may be, is that still deductible?
No, that's not going to be deductible.
So how do they know how I spent it 10 years ago?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question.
Did I show you my new roof? Have you seen?
It's very nice. It's a nice
roof. Thank you. I was hoping you would say that. I'm here. You know, one of the greatest lines from the movie Schindler's List was, "Everyone should have a clever accountant and a forgiving priest." we're with Peter Lang, managing director and partner of Hightower Westchester. We are there here in their offices in Westchester County, right here at 440 Mamaroneck Avenue. Boy, you really studied this stuff. Okay, home sales. I think you covered the home sales.
I did. Yep.
All right, let's get to, and I'm afraid once again, the medical expense deduction.
So medical expense deduction did not change at all.
But there was a lot of talk that it would.
There was a lot of talk that it would. It was and still is. You have to have medical expenses of greater than 7.5% of your adjusted gross income to be able to deduct anything at all.
Okay. Now, would you mind if I say something silly, but
there's
a serious element to
it.
I'm at 7%.
Right.
And it's really going to mean a lot to me to take that deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Should I trip over a sidewalk and break an ankle or get the flu?
I'd still recommend against it. Not worth a deduction.
Okay. But I get it. So 7.5%, and it's still eligible.
Did not change.
Charitable contributions.
Yes. No change. Lots of talk about a lot of changes on charitable deductions, about it being disqualified or being changed. They, at the end of the day, they didn't make any changes to that at all.
So, in other words, the people that are giving to the special Bob Marone Charity Fund, you're going to be able to write it off.
You still write off the Bob Marone Fund, absolutely.
I have to tell you, Peter, this is so useful. This is the best, at least for me, and I'd like to think myself as the typical listener when I'm doing this. This is really enlightening. Okay, we move on. We talk about the charitable deductions.
Yeah, let me talk about charity for one second.
Begins at home.
Yes, it does begin at home, absolutely. But something else to keep in mind relative to your charitable deductions. If you're going to be faced with not being able to itemize your taxes, which a lot of people with a new bump up to $24,000 as married couple who may give $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 to charity and feel, hey, I still want to get my deduction for it. One of the things that we've thought about and we'll speak to our clients about is potentially making 2 or 3 years' worth of contributions to a donor, to your own donor-advised fund.
What's a donor-advised
fund? A donor-advised fund, and their Fidelity has it, Vanguard has it, a bunch of companies have it. It's, in essence, like your own little charity. You make a contribution of either appreciated stock or cash to the donor-advised fund, and then at a subsequent later date, you choose, you, the individual who set it up, choose when and what charity you want to fund it with. So let's say you give $1,000 a year every year to the United Way of Westchester.
Right.
Maybe what you do is you put $2,000 today into your donor advised fund, have the donor advised fund later this year send $1,000 to United Way, and next year $1,000
to
United Way.
So I could take, in effect, the deduction now when I might need it as opposed to another year when I might not have it.
Exactly.
You're good, you.
We try.
Now, we go to something else that's very, very important, and that is, now what about IRAs? I almost forgot that. IRAs, Roths, things like that.
And we'll talk a little bit more about retirement planning in a second, but one of the strategies that has been around for a bunch of years has been the ability of somebody who's over 70 and a half, so in that withdrawal, in that phase of needing to withdraw from the IRA account, they have been able to put up to $100,000 of that annual required withdrawal and send it directly to a charity as opposed to taking it. Now, this accomplishes a couple things. One, it supports your favorite charity. Two, that income is no longer taxable to you because the money goes directly from the IRA to your favorite charity.
Whoa, okay.
So it lowers your income because you've now taken, let's say your required minimum distribution was $20,000 this year. If you instead send that, have the IRA custodian send
$20,000. But the key thing is your accountant needs to figure out if you're better off doing that.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
If the income would have brought you up to a higher tax bracket, you'd be a lot wiser to send it to the Bob Marone Benefit Fund.
Absolutely. You'd send it to the fund first.
Yes.
And then not take the money. Yep.
This is good stuff. Now, I realize because I was looking at the IRA in relation to this, we'll talk about IRAs, folks, in a little while. I don't have any children. Well, I do have a child, but she's 40. So child tax credit, that changed.
Yes. They basically doubled the child tax credit. It was increased from a $1,000 credit to a $2,000. And remember, a tax credit's a little different than a deduction. Because a tax credit is a dollar-for-dollar credit over from the taxes you owe versus a deduction that simply lowers the amount of money that you pay taxes on. A tax credit is more valuable than a tax deduction.
Because it actually gives you money? Is that what you're
saying? Well, it lowers your tax dollar-for-dollar.
Gotcha.
So let's say you owed the IRS, after you did your taxes, before you did your child tax credit, let's say you owed the IRS $2,500 and you have one child, you would get a $2,000 credit. So your taxable, your tax that you owe to the IRS would go from $2,500 to $500.
Now, should I adopt five kids this year and then give them back next year? Would that help me?
Probably not.
Okay, I didn't think so. I'm not an accountant with you. We're talking, with, so far I've tried every loophole. We're talking with Peter Lang. He's a delightful man, but he's also the very serious and knowledgeable, as you can hear, managing director and partner here at Hightower Westchester. And he won't give me any breaks because he's honest, and that's what you get when you come to them. All right, Ike's Alimony.
Don't pay it.
No.
Well, don't get divorced, I should say.
Okay.
Don't get divorced, you don't have to pay it. So going forward, alimony used to be a deductible expense. So if you divorced from your spouse, the spouse that was paying the alimony was able to deduct it, and the spouse that was getting it actually declared it. Going forward, alimony is no longer deductible expense and no longer is reportable as income either.
Can you at least explain the rationale there?
No, I can't. I couldn't even begin to think what they were thinking when they drafted this. But if your divorce decree was final by December 31st of 2017, the alimony is still deductible. If your divorce was done on January 2nd, 2018, it's no longer deductible.
How many suicides of alimony plays do you think there are?
I would think a lot of divorces got sped up in December.
Yeah, probably so. God, if I would question every sickness in that time. All right, the classic miscellaneous deductions.
Yeah, so the miscellaneous deductions were, you know, the old grab bag of things. Investment advisor expenses, moving expenses, accounting fees, a lot of different fees that had to get up to about over 2% of your adjusted gross income. Almost all of those expenses were just scrapped and are done.
You hear was my pain.
One of the few that still is out there is for teachers that spend up to $250 per year on classroom supplies. That one is still deductible.
My wife.
Oh, there you
so
go.
In other words, this is painful. Peter, what you're saying is, let's just say a news guy who has to buy a lot of magazines, books, and newspapers and travel around in his car to cover stories and it's not reimbursed, he can't write them off anymore, without doing pass-through stuff. Okay.
Probably not anymore, no.
That for another day.
Yes.
The mandate that individuals get health insurance, what did they do to that?
They didn't touch it for this year. They will probably change it next year in 2019 unless Congress goes back and changes it again.
Oh, but so the mandate is still there.
Most
of us heard,
is still
when
there.
We heard it, we thought it was over.
Nope, already. Mandate is still there, absolutely.
Okay, now we get to the IRAs and the Roths and the other miscellaneous items.
Mm-hmm. So let's first talk about IRAs. There was a lot of talk about changing the IRAs, making them not deductible, making them all Roth, which are done as after-tax contributions. Mm-hmm. IRAs and Roth IRAs are still the same. There was no change,
and
no change in the limits, no change in the taxability.
By the way, this isn't the purpose of this particular segment, but the Roth IRAs are very useful for people who are still working later on in life and need money later on.
Yep.
Yes, I know.
The one thing I'll just mention about IRAs and Roth IRAs, you used to be able to, you could convert your IRA, your traditional IRA, to a Roth IRA. You'd pay the taxes and you'd convert it.
Right.
And then there was a little trick that people used where they would, if the Roth IRA then went down in value subsequent to the conversion, they could recharacterize, in other words, undo it like it never happened, and then convert it again. That has been done away with. You can no longer recharacterize a Roth conversion.
Welcome to the Elimination of Loopholes Hour here.
Absolutely.
On Westchester Talk Radio. Folks, this podcast, as you can hear from our guests, this is very useful information. Now, it can be heard at 12 noon on Saturdays on Westchester Talk Radio. But also, remember, on demand, you can listen to it anytime, or you may listen to it once and say, I need to listen to it again, or show my wife, or show the woman you divorced, or better yet, the person who's paying alimony to you, because you will no longer, you will have to declare it. It's Christmas in divorce land, right at westchestertalkradio.com. And we continue with our conversation with Peter Lang, a delightful man, but managing director as well, partner at Hightower Westchester, who is very knowledgeable. And first, he made me very happy, and now I'm getting depressed. So now we talked about retirement plans. Anything else to say about those?
no change at all, even though there was a lot of talk about making changes. Ultimately, they made no changes to traditional 401k plans, Roth 401k plans. Everything stays the same. The contribution limit this year is up to $18,500. And if you're over 50, like myself, you can do an additional $6,000 catch-up provision.
Oh, well, there you go. I just don't have the money to catch up. But all right, let's do 529 plans, which when they first came out, they were still debated as, do we really need them? Are there better ways? But how does the tax package treat these?
So for 529 plans, there were really no changes. There was one kind of significant change. So 529, think of it as... people think of it as a college savings plan.
Right.
Relative to college savings, there were no changes. There is one significant change that was made, which is allowing individuals who have 529s for their children to use it for primary education. So let's say you're sending your child to a private high school,
right,
prep school, mm-hmm, parochial school. You can now use 529 plans, the money in there, to pay tuition. Now, a couple of caveats around that. One, from a planning perspective, be careful about spending all of the money that you may have saved in the 529 that you were saving for Junior to go to college in 5 or 6 or 7 years from now. If you spend it now, it's not going to be there in 5 or 6 years when
right,
you were hoping for it. The second thing is
and then they wind up like Matt the engineer, uneducated.
Absolutely.
Stupid.
Don't want that. The other issue is that some states have said they may end up, if you use the money and pull it out for parochial school or for private school, they may end up taxing that on a state level.
Wow.
So be careful. That's still out there pending. We don't know the end result of that.
Now, my next topic, and something that I spoke with your colleagues about, mm-hmm, from when you're putting a financial plan together as well, student loans, painful for so
yeah,
many young people.
No real change to the student loan part of it. The one thing to keep in mind... is student loans were the one kind of loan that would follow you forever, literally, to disability and unfortunately, death.
Death.
At this time, under the new tax law, if you're fully disabled or you pass away, your student loans are fully discharged.
Finally.
Finally.
So they don't have to rip the rings off your finger. This is a good deal.
Yes.
Open
yes,
up the box.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, alternative minimum tax.
Yeah, so this has always been... you know, everyone thinks, oh, the tax system isn't too confusing. Well, the AMT tax that they instituted in the 1970s made it confusing and,
oh,
is,
yeah,
and is, in essence, a parallel tax system. And then the issue with the AMT was that Congress, for years, didn't raise the level of where the AMT hit. And the AMT started, I don't know, sometime in the 1970s when a few individuals who made lots of money paid literally zero taxes. And so Congress said, well, we can't let a really guy making millions of dollars pay no taxes.
So there had to be some minimum tax he would pay.
Exactly. So they set up the alternative minimum tax. So what they've done, so while there was a lot of talk again about completely doing away with the AMT tax system, what they did, while they didn't do away with it, what they did do was they raised the level significantly. So the new AMT tax going forward will be raised to about $600,000 for a married couple filing jointly. So many, far fewer people will be hit by the AMT tax on a going forward basis.
Wow. All right. The estate and the gift tax as we come up on the rear here.
So there are a couple things on the estate and gift tax. First, for starters, as many of the listeners probably know, you can make a gift to anybody that you want. The old was $14,000 starting January 1st. That level came $15,000.
Okay.
So in other words, if I was so generous that I wanted to give you, Bob, $15,000...
I love you.
I'm not going to do it, but no. I could. And it wouldn't be taxable for me, and it wouldn't be taxable
Look,
for you either.
It's not taxable. Why not do it?
Because I don't like you that much.
Okay.
If you don't like him that much, you like me that much?
No.
Hey, remember, he needs it for the education.
Yes.
Peter Lang.
So that part didn't change.
The real
big change is the exemption, the individual exemption. In December 2017, every individual had an individual exemption of about $5.5 million per person. So a married couple had an $11 million exemption. So the first $11 million of their estate was exempt from federal estate and gift tax.
Right.
Congress basically doubled that under the new tax law. So now a married couple has a little over $22 million, so about $11 million per individual and $22 million for a couple. So it's literally doubled. It's estimated in, just trying to think here, in 2015, the last year that we had some of these numbers for, a little less than 5,000 estates actually paid an estate tax. It's estimated going forward that number will shrink down to about $1,700 to $1,800, 1,800 estates per year that will pay an estate tax.
Okay. Well, you know, I have to tell you, this has been extraordinary. How would you wrap this up? I see a number here. Is it true 80% should see a tax cut? Is that a good number?
That's what the estimates that we've read. About 80% of the individual and married couples that are filing taxes should see a tax cut. Now, remember, that tax cut could be $100, could be $10.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And then about 5% we think will see an increase. And about 15% will basically not see anything, no difference. Now, remember, when you do your taxes every year, it's also really tough because people's income does change year to year.
Mm-hmm.
They get a raise, they don't get a raise, they get more money in a bonus, they have a little bit more of dividend or interest income. So it's pretty rare that anybody's taxes or their income is exactly the same year after year after year. So that's the other kind of moving target. But again, the estimates are, you know, about 80% of Americans will see a little bit more money in their pockets.
Two things before I send you on your
yes.
way, Peter Lang. One is, well, great job.
Thank you.
Number two is this is really useful for what you do in terms of advising people about their budgets and the consequences of what they buy and what they sell and everything else. So kudos
yep.
to you for that.
Thank you.
And the second thing was sort of personal. Could you reconsider the $15,000 you considered giving me?
Yeah, no.
I didn't think so. My guest has been Peter Lang. And folks, you want to go to the website. You may want to listen to it twice. You may want to take notes. It is that good, an overview of the tax code. You can find us on Westchester Talk Radio. We're on demand, and this will also be broadcast each Saturday, this podcast at noon. Again, my guest, Peter Lang, Managing Director and Partner at Hightower Westchester, and we've been bringing you the show from their headquarters at 440 Mamaroneck Avenue, Suite 506. I want to thank the guests today, Jim Cleefield, my frequent co-host, and today producing duties, and of course, the man behind the Kool-Aid stand, our engineer, Matt Kahan, thank you very much. And again, a special thanks to our friends here at Hightower Westchester. Have a great day, everybody.
Hightower Advisors does not provide tax or legal advice. This material was not intended or written to be used or presented to any entity as tax advice or tax information. Tax laws vary based on the client's individual circumstances and can change at any time without notice. Clients are urged to consult their tax or legal advisor before establishing a retirement plan. Securities offered through Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Hightower Advisors, LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor.